Amen. Church, amen.
Amen.
Church, amen again.
Amen.
If you love the Lord, why don't you smile and say amen.
Amen.
Certainly, it's a blessing, honor, privilege for us to be here on this time side of life to worship our Father in spirit and in truth. We're grateful to the God of heaven for the opportunity we have to be here this morning. And we're grateful to the Edge Hill congregation for having me back. So always glad to be here in the city of Petersburg, Virginia. Glad to love again to thankful for the brethren that have come forth in our devotion, our prayer, scripture reading. Brother Wesley for the singing. It's just good to be here. It's good, always good to come back. To be invited back. Some places you go, people may not want you back, but it says a lot when they invite you to come back. This morning, I want to talk about a topic that's really dear to my heart about the truth. Everybody always talks about they want the truth, but people really don't want to hear the truth. Sometimes you tell the truth, they get mad at you. They look at you sideways and cross-eyed, and some people may even curse you out for telling you the truth, but hey, we've got to tell the truth, especially when it comes to the Word of God. Meet me in the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 2. We're going to begin with verse number 1 and read down to verse number 12. The Bible says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will come. That day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth, and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned, who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." And again, I want to talk from the topic this morning, the love of the truth versus the love of a lie. I have here also Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, and we're going to look at that a little bit later on in the lesson. And then also, according to our scripture reading for this morning, 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through verse number 12. Now, truth must be loved, not just merely known. We can seek knowledge, seek with knowledge. A person can be sincere in their beliefs, but be sincerely wrong. You can believe something so strong, you can have feelings so strong about what you believe, but that does not necessarily mean that it's true. Like if you believe that you're going to get $1 million, let's just throw that out there. Everybody love money. Everybody want money. But just because you believe it strongly, and you may be even doing things to pursue that $1 million, but that don't necessarily mean that you're going to get the $1 million. Same way with religion today, and that's what I want to focus on, is the spiritual aspect of loving the truth. Because a lot of people, even on Sunday, right now, they're worshiping what they believe to be a true worship. But it's not according to Scripture. It's not according to the knowledge of God's Word. But people believe, hey, look, man, I love it. I love the Lord. You may love the Lord. I'm not doubting your sincerity and your love for God, but it has to be according to what the Bible says. Amen. Zeal can be sincere and still miss the truth. Passion is not its own compass, meaning that your desires, your love, fortitude in what you believe is not how we direct our paths to find the truth of God's word. Truth turns devotion away from self-made righteousness and toward humble submission to God. Meaning that the word of God will cause our passion to be in line and submission to his word and his way. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Verses 13 through verse number 14. Matthew, the 7th chapter, beginning with verse number 13 and verse number 14. The Bible says, Jesus said, rather, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that which leads to life, and there are few who find it. What Jesus is saying is that a lot of people want to go that broad way because there's less traffic. It's easy. You can speed. You can do whatever you want to do. It's easy to go that broad way, and there's going to be a lot of people going that way because they want to eat. They don't want any hardship. They don't want any problem. They don't want to have to stop at a red light. They don't want to be stuck in a traffic jam. They want to be able to go from one point to the other point at ease. But that's not always the case in life. In life, we're going to have obstacles. We're going to have struggle. We're going to have stop signs. We're going to have to yield sometimes, especially when it comes to the word of God, because we can't do what we want to do and still expect God to be pleasing with us. But Jesus said the narrow way. Like, if we were to walk down this aisle, down between these pews, and we had a lot of baggage, we're going to have to let some stuff go. We're going to have to drop off some stuff to in order for us to get through these pews because they're so little that the space is narrow for us. But if we walk down this aisle, it's a little bit easier to carry whatever we want to carry, whatever we want to bring along. And the same way with the church, when it comes to worshiping God, we've got to do it just how he says it in his word. You don't believe it? Drop down to verses 21 and 23 of Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said, not everyone who said to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. What Jesus is saying is that and this is talking to the church, but the principle is applied to those out there in the world. And we have to understand and let them know, just because you go to church every Sunday and so-called worship God does not mean that God is accepting your worship. We have to do things just like God has written in his word. You know, I mentioned earlier this morning in Sunday school about someone who told me that their pastor is an apostle. Yeah? Well, hey, come in just a little bit closer. Jesus chose 12 apostles. Those apostles that walked with him, they had to meet certain qualifications. They were handpicked by Jesus. And then they had to witness his resurrection. Now, I'm not that intelligent, but I'm smart enough to know that there's nobody living on earth today that qualified to be an apostle. Somebody say, well, how are you going to tell me I'm telling you what the Bible says. Don't argue with me, argue with the word. And you can't argue with the word, that's a losing battle. Because whether you believe the truth or not, guess what? It's still true. Then he said, and continuing on in Matthew 7:22, many would say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonderful works? You can do all the good that you want to do. You can do all these great things, but it does not matter because look what the next verse. Jesus says unto them, depart from me. No, I never knew you. Depart from me. You who practice lawlessness. Meaning that word, no, I never knew you, It's an intimate relationship. Jesus said, I never had a relationship with you. In church, we have to be careful. Even though we have the truth, even though we have God's word, we have to be careful to do things just like he says in his word. We don't have the authority to add to or take away from God's holy and written word. You know, you have members of Churches of Christ, and I think I said this here before. Just because that sign out says, outside on that marquee said Church of Christ, does not mean that they're the Church of Christ. You better go in and investigate. I've been there. I witnessed it. I've seen it. I've gone somewhere, and Brother Jerry, I had to get up and walk out of there, man, because it's not the Lord's church. They were doing things, and I mean, it's crazy. It's scary. And people are actually believing that God is accepting his worship. And then in Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, the writer says in Romans, brethren, my heart and prayer to Israel is to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Paul the writer is saying that they have a zeal, they want to serve God, but they're not doing it according to the Bible, not according to God's knowledge and his word. And verse number 3 said, for I bear them record, for they have not submitted themselves to God's righteousness, but they have gone about to establish their own righteousness. They're doing what was right, what they thought was right is what they want to do. But that's not what's right. That's not the truth. Number 2, welcome the truth. Truth is truth whether it's obeyed or not. Loving truth means receiving it. Deeply, listen, receiving the truth deeply enough to shape desire, expose deception, and guide the way we live. In other words, we have to love the truth of God's word so much that when we hear it, we accept it, we apply it to our lives, and make the necessary changes that need to be made. If I was to tell one of you, whoever it may be, situation, hey, look, that's not according to God's word. If you love me as a brother, and you love God more than you love me, you won't get mad and try to fight me because I tell you something that's right according to God's word. It's happened. It happens in the church. No, Chuck and I were talking the other day, just yesterday, about how things happen in other congregations that I served in. And the brother got mad and stormed out. You know, hey, look, it's all right. Let him go. He'll calm down. I'm not finna chase you. I'm not going to fight with you. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm just going to give you what the word says. That's right. In church, when we do that, whether they accept it or not, whether they leave or not, if they leave, let them go. God will bring them. God's going to send who needs to be sent where we need them to send them, where we need them to be. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, one of my favorite scriptures. You know, the Bible says in Romans 12, verse number 1, now I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How can we transform our mind? By reading and applying God's word. That you may be able to prove what is that acceptable and the perfect will of God. And then, of course, in our scripture reading, we'll look at that a little bit later. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses number 1 through 12. We got to know the truth. We have to welcome the truth. And we have to love the truth. And then apply the truth to our daily lives. There we are. Introduction, definition. What is truth? Truth is defined by several definitions. Truth is the property of a statement, belief, or idea that lines up with reality or facts. Truth is conformity or reality or fact to reality or fact. It contrasts with falsity or misrepresentation that fails to align with the world. That's according to Wikipedia. But Webster said that truth is the body of real things, events, and facts. the real facts about something. Truth is God's word. Let's define it by the Bible. The truth according to the scripture in John chapter 17, verse number 17, Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Meaning that we have to, that word sanctify means to separate, to differentiate. We have to be different from what the world is doing, and we have to be different from these other bodies of so-called churches of Christ. Like I said, just because you can claim it, you can say you're a member of the Church of Christ all day long. But if you're not doing things according to the truth of God's word, that does not make you the Church of Christ. You know, you got brothers in the body of Christ calling themselves pastors. But they're using the term pastor as an office, as a title rather, not an office. You know, the word pastor simply means, is another word for elder. The Bible says, if a man desires the office of a bishop, office of an elder, office of a pastor, he desires a good work. But then there are qualifications that must be met in the Word of God in order to be qualified as an elder. But Jesus says the Word of God is true. Jesus himself said that he is true. John chapter 14, verse number 6. The Bible says, Jesus said, rather, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You want to see truth? You want to know truth? Look at Jesus. You got his words right here. Just because you feel strongly about something does not make it true. Let's look at now people who reject the truth. Let's go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and let's look at verses 8 and verse number 9. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verses number 8 and verse number 9. The Bible says here, and then the lawlessness, well, let's back up to verse number 7. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according, listen, to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Now, just because he's working with all power does not mean that he's all powerful. That means that because Jesus, remember in Matthew 28, said, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Not saying that the lawless one does not have power. He has power, but he has limited power. And guess what? We don't have to submit to his power. We must submit to the word of God. I don't care how good it looks and how it makes us feel about the thing. Because it always feels good, Brother Wesley, when you're doing what you want to do. But it's hard when we have to do things that we don't want to do. What does lawlessness mean? Lawlessness is the condition of being without laws or behavior that completely ignores and breaks the laws. Now that ties in both spiritually and physically in the world we live in. A lot of times people don't think about this, but when you go one number over what's posted on that speed limit out there, you're breaking the law. I had to remind myself of that when I was driving up here yesterday. Had to, wait a minute, bro, you're breaking the law. And a lot of people don't think about that. But we are required as Christians to obey the law of the land as long as they don't go against what the Bible teaches. So I had to repent. Lord, I'm sorry. Let me slow down. Let me drop it down and go to speed limit. But we have an obligation. We have a responsibility to uphold the laws of the Lord above the laws of the land, especially when they contradict what the Bible says. This may not be popular preaching this morning, but it's good teaching. You know, people may not like it, but they need to hear it. And we as Christians, let me say this, it's not just my job as a preacher to teach these things to people. Every baptized believer, the body of Christ, has that responsibility and obligation to teach the word. Brother Chuck mentioned this morning in our Sunday school lesson about a song that we sometimes don't even sing anymore. You never mentioned him to me. Saw me day by day, knew I was astray, and never mentioned him to me. It's going to be a sad day for some people in the church when we stand before God. Let's move on. Lawlessness is to deceive or trick. Well, rather, to deceive is to trick or convince someone into believing that something is wrong, something that is wrong is right or true. Remember in the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, verses 1 through 5, how the serpent, the Bible said that the serpent was more subtle than any creature that was made. And God, he already knew what God had told Adam and Eve. Eve knew. She was right there with Adam. But yet the serpent just took what God said and put added one little word and changed the whole thing and made it a lie. He said, God knows that you shall surely not die if you eat this apple, because it's going to make you wise. You're going to be as God. You're going to know good from evil. And Eve, look, she fell for it. She was deceived. But then she gave it to her husband, and he ate too. So they both were in trouble. He knew better. He knew what God had told him. And I guess he just didn't want to have an argument, Brother Jim, with his wife. He wanted to go along and get along, but hey, look, I'm sorry. I'm not going along and get along. I love the Lord more than I love anybody, you know. And so, hey, if it ever comes to the point where I got to choose, I'm choosing God.
Amen.
So, we see from the beginning of the creation that the devil's always had, there was always been people that rejected the truth. It's not something that just happened. It's been happening since the beginning of time. And it's going to continue until Jesus comes back. And I'm pretty sure when he comes back, it's still going to be people rejecting. I just don't believe it. Okay, keep on not believing. And you'll see why a little bit later on in this lesson. There are counterfeits, money. You know, people make counterfeit money. It looks real, but it's not the real thing. Same way in religion. These churches look real, but they're not the real deal. I'm reminded of the Coca-Cola, man. You know, Coca-Cola, the real thing. And then there are congregations of the Lord's church that look real, but they're not. So, let's look at the decision made, verse number 10, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. The Bible says, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. They had a chance to being saved, but they did not receive the love of the truth. They rejected it. They made a decision to reject what was being taught. Just like people today make a decision to reject the truth. The most thing that I heard people have a problem with the Church of Christ, it used to be, y'all think y'all the only one going to heaven. That was big back in the day. But now, here, the biggest thing, y'all the one that don't have no music. Yeah, we got music. We have acapella music. In singing, the Bible teaches us that we're to teach and admonish one another. And songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with melody in our heart to the Lord. That's the Bible. That's the way of worship. That's what God has designed for us to do. And if we want to be pleasing to God, we want to be his people. We're going to have to do exactly, regardless of how good it sounds or how good it makes you feel. And see, that's another thing. When you got all that music going, the drums and the pianos and cymbals and all that other stuff, it takes away, not only is it loud and distracting, but it takes away off the focus of the message, and you start thinking about how good it sounded, how good. That's why people get up and clap their hands and dance around all over the church.
They're not dancing because of what the music is saying, because they feel good. Music want to make you move. Again, going back to Romans chapter 10, verse number 1, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse number 31 and 32, that if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Thank God.
Yeah, thank God for his truth, because we have been made free from the burden of sin. We have been made free from all the other bondage that comes along with doing what we want to do. Don't you know, Brother Wesley, that if you go to a church, you're a member of a body that does not believe in God, you're bound under their rules, and you got to do what they tell you to do, how they tell you to do it. If not, they're going to kick you out. But one thing about the church, we don't have a room. We don't have a heaven or hell to put nobody in. You come freely and you can leave freely. We're not going to hold you hostage. We're not going to tell you, no, you can't leave. We want you to stay. We want you to grow. We want you to learn. We want you to be able to be a productive Christian in the body of Christ, working out your soul's salvation, because one day God is coming back. And we're going to have to stand before him in judgment and give an account of the thing done into the body, whether it's good or whether it's bad. People don't realize that, man. People are living their lives, doing anything and everything that they big and bad enough to do, and thinking that it's okay. You may be escaping the laws of the land, but you can't escape the judgment of God.
That's right.
2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse 10 said, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And then when we go over one chapter in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, look at verse 7 through 9, even though the context here is different, they're talking about those who trouble them, and you know, you can find rest, but the principle here can be applied to our text in 2 Thessalonians 2:9-12, because in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, the Bible says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, and flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse number 9 says, there should be punishment. They should be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Keep thinking that you're getting away. God's going to take vengeance on those who do not know him, and those who do not obey his gospel. Why? Because the opportunity has been laid out, the truth has been given to you, but you chose to reject it, to do what you want to do, to be pleasing of men and not of God. The Bible said that they love the pleasure of darkness rather than light. People claim that they want the truth. They claim to love God, but yet are not willing to study his word and get clarity for the word. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy and said, preach the word in season, be out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables or lies. When you get to telling people the truth, man, all kind of emotions come up, all kind of problems. They start asking, well, what about my mama? What about my dad? Hey, it's not about your mama and your dad. It's about you. Your mom and dad are going to have to, and I'm not being insensitive, but you got to stand before God just like your mom and dad are going to have to stand before God. They probably dead, and they may be dead and gone. Okay, hey, I comfort you. I pray for you. Pray that you get over the grief, but what about you? Your soul is at stake too. It's nothing that we can do about them. You're still living. You still have an opportunity to hear God's word, believe it, and obey it before it's everlasting. When you hear the truth, are you going to obey it? Somebody told me one day that they are waiting to have an encounter with Jesus. they're waiting to have an encounter with. They had it, or they had something was said. They what do you mean you had an encounter with Jesus? Are you like Paul on the road? I mean, the only way that we can encounter Jesus today is to open up his word and read it for ourselves. 2 Timothy 2, verse number 15. Study the word and show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word. That's the only way that we can encounter Jesus today. He's not going to come talk to us like we talking now, like I'm talking. No, the Bible says in Hebrews 1 and verse number 1, God who is sundry at times and endowed with a manner of speaking time past through the prophets unto the Father, but now in these last days has spoken unto us through his Son. I don't know what they were talking about. They weren't having an encounter with Jesus, but hey, okay. the destruction. Verses 12, 11 and 12 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And then we'll be getting ready to close this lesson out. Verse 11 and 12. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Delusion. God will allow you to believe the thing that you are doing. He will let you believe that, that you're doing right, because you rejected the truth. So he'll let you believe something that's not condemned. They did not believe the truth. You already, Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verse number 16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Meaning that you believe, you heard the truth. You heard the truth, but then you rejected the truth. So you're condemned. Unless you have a chance to believe it and be baptized, when you believe something, you're going to act on it. Well, I hope you will. Then delight and pleasure. They wanted pleasure more than unrighteousness. They loved what they were doing. It felt good to them, Brother Wesley. It made them feel good. It made them feel comfortable where they are. And so they continue to do those things. Conclusion, the message here is not just about the judgment of evil, but about the danger of no longer having a fervent love for the truth. Paul said in verse number 10 that they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. In verse 11 he said they are condemned because they believe not the truth but have pleasure in unrighteousness. After careful examination of this passage, we are faced with the serious question, what do we love? Do we love the truth or do we love a lie? I don't know about you, but I love the truth. First, we saw the rejection of the truth. Just because you reject the truth, it's not going to change the fact that it is the truth. Second, there was a decision made. There are eternal consequences for choosing a lie over the truth of God's word. John 12:48, Jesus said, he that rejected me and received not my words, that one that judged him. The words that I have spoken, the same will judge them in the last day. And then thirdly, there's destruction. 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9, and then chapter 2, verse number 12. The question is not, do I know the truth, but rather, do I love the truth enough to obey it? The truth may hurt. The truth may challenge us. The truth may and will require us to change. But truth will never destroy us. The lie, it looks good. The lie will make us feel comfortable. The lie will allow us to keep doing what we're doing. But the lie will also ultimately lead to our destruction. You heard the word of God. You heard the truth. Are you willing to obey the truth, accept the truth? You do that today by hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. Then you must be willing to believe that God is the Lord, that he sent his son to die that we might have a right to the tree of life. Then you must be willing to make a change, meaning that we must be willing to repent of our sins, meaning that we must be willing to have a change of heart that leads to a change of action. Then you must be willing to confess with your mouth the sweetest name on mortal tongue, and that's saying that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and be willing to be buried with him in the water of greater baptism. I know that they're saying that you don't have to be baptized to be saved, but Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. And then if you're here as a Christian and you have fallen short, you have sometimes rejected the truth, as we sometimes do, that's okay. But don't stay there. Repent. Ask God to forgive you. Ask the church to pray with you, pray for you. And you can do so right now as we together stand and sing our invitation song.